Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
I think for me, I didn't matter in the relationship. My needs just didn't have space to exist. There was never a reason or opportunity to explore that in myself.
Are you ready to talk to me? My name is Deborah Falada, and I'm a licensed professional counselor, national speaker, and author. Through my blog, books, and podcast, I have the privilege of helping millions of people get healthy mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally. The purpose of this podcast is to have on-air, authentic, counseling-style sessions where we talk about how people are really doing and give my guests and callers an opportunity to talk to me as a licensed professional counselor. Each of these episodes is meant to show you that we are all on the journey of healing. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally together. None of us are immune to the challenges and struggles of life, but we don't have to walk this path alone. I'm so proud and honored to be having these conversations with men and women who are courageously paving the way for open and honest conversations about their personal journey of healing. So if you're ready, let's talk. Today on the podcast, I have Benjamin from Washington coming on to talk to me. Benjamin, it's good to have you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So how did you and I get connected originally? Like, how did you come across this ministry? Do you remember?
Yeah, actually, you were a guest on Christopher Cook's podcast. Huge fan of his. Win today, a little shout out there.
Yeah.
And then I jumped over to yours after hearing that interview. It was in a season about 6 months ago where I was going through separation with my wife and trying to find my way through that. And unfortunately, it's ultimately headed toward divorce, but I'm in this season now of rebuilding and reimagining a bit what my life looks like.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry to hear that. I know that is a very difficult thing to navigate through, and I just want to be sensitive to that. So looking back, first of all, how long were you married?
Almost 14 years.
Okay. Do you have any children?
Two
children. And how old are they?
They're 10 and 8.
Okay. So you're kind of in the thick of it right now.
Yeah.
And what do you feel like you have learned through this process or are learning through this process? I think oftentimes going through conflict in relationships and specifically divorce, it can either highlight all the problems with your spouse, it can highlight all the problems in your marriage, or it can highlight the things that God is revealing in you that he wants to heal and transform and change. So as you're kind of processing what that looks like for you, healing and transformation and change in this season, what do you feel like God is bringing your attention to of something that you need to work on?
So interestingly, so I was about 23 when I got married, so young and naive, and thought I knew a lot, and had, you know, kind of my life plan. I'm in a season now of realizing that in some ways, my life was kind of like a freeze frame for about 14 years. And having stripped away the marriage and that relationship and coming into a season now of in a way being right back where I was at age 23, but now a lot older and a little wiser. and kind of looking at wow, there are some things I need to develop internally that I hadn't developed at that point, and then didn't develop through marriage, because in some ways, marriage can, I think, kind of be a support emotionally, and you can rely on the other person for different weaknesses in your own life. And so I think having that removed and having a little bit of introspection, being able to look at areas of my life where I need to do some work that I was maybe relying on my wife, and you know, some codependency issues there, but wanting to kind of come into a wholeness of my own.
I think you're right in saying that oftentimes your weaknesses can be masked in relationships because you rely on the strength points of your spouse to kind of dictate and determine certain things. For example, in my relationship, it would definitely be finances. If left to myself, I realize, wow, I've got some room to grow in this area and things I need to figure out. But it's easy for that to be masked by a spouse who's really good at that or very confident in that area. So what do you think has been the biggest revelation for you?
Well, you know, finance is a good segue, and it's one area where, you know, having someone else that's relying on you, or and that you're likewise relying on, a lot of the decisions and kind of core values and we'll say guidelines and boundaries that I put around myself were based on the needs of the relationship, the marriage, and not my own core values. And so, you know, something like finances, well, what am I spending my money on now? That it's, you know, I don't have another person that's questioning those choices and those decisions. And that can even go so far as looking at a potential future relationship if I were to get remarried. Am I structuring my life and my values now based on who I am and who I want to be, or based on what I think another person will judge it to be?
Yeah.
You know, do I want to get my finances in order for me, or so that when I meet someone, they're like, oh yeah, okay, your finances are in order. You know, those kinds of things where it's like looking to other people for that hedge, so to speak, and making wise choices. Finances is just one. You know, the just healthy daily habits, spending my time, things. I'm in this season now of like kind of digging into all of that and going, what's important to me in this?
Is there something in your life you want to change? I sure hope so, because healthy people are always on the trajectory of learning and growing and healing. Maybe it's your negative thinking that's keeping you stuck. Maybe you find your emotions are overwhelming you with fear and hopelessness, shame, anxiety, or depression. Maybe you're struggling in your relationship with God. Maybe you're stuck in a pattern of unhealthy relationships. Maybe it's behaviors that are sabotaging your life, like an addiction or unhealthy habits. It could be your attitude, your mindset, or your perspective on life that needs to shift. Whatever it is, in order for change to happen, it has to start from the inside out. Taking the best of psychology and pairing it with God's word, my book Reset is all about getting healthy from the inside out. It's a book of 31 mindset shifts and sustainable practices that will guide you into the process of healing by giving you practical steps that will transform your life with change that lasts. No matter how many times you failed before, I want to help you do it differently this time. So grab a copy of Reset today and get ready to reset your life from the inside out. Check out DeborahFileta.com/reset or grab your copy anywhere books are sold. Let me ask you this. Why do you think it's taken you so long to figure out what that looks like for you? I wonder, what was the hesitation before? Like, it sounds like you're just now realizing, you know what? I have been doing things for other people for so long. My boundaries, my rules, maybe even my hobbies and interests, how I spend my money, how I spend my time. It has been to kind of try and fit in to somebody else's life and somebody else's expectations. Why do you think that it's taken you so long? Like, why do you think that has been your pattern for so many years?
Well, I think there's two pieces of it. I think from the beginning, you know, kind of the catalyst for it is just this desire and need for acceptance and willing to bend to whatever the people around me want to see, what I think they want to see in order to be accepted and wanted. And then following on that, you know, I think, so that's where it starts. And the question, why did it go on so long? I've got my own failings in the marriage, but I think for me, I didn't matter in the relationship. It was, you know, my needs just didn't have space to exist.
Yeah.
And so that there was never a reason or opportunity to explore that in myself.
So your need to kind of be a people pleaser and your need to be accepted, paired with the fact that you found yourself in a marriage where your needs were kind of lower on the totem pole, it made for a really easy way to just kind of keep going with that, what we could call self-neglect or a lack of awareness of your needs. Let me ask you this. How good are you at sharing your needs?
I'm getting better. You know, one of the hard points in that is actually identifying them.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to share them if you don't actually know what they are.
And absolutely. I think
that's a starting point for me, and just developing relationships where I feel safe to share those, the needs that I do recognize, and learning ways to communicate them in an effective way, kind of open-handedly, of like, this is in this relationship, this is what I want and need, and I recognize that you may not be able to give that, and that's okay. And then we decide where to go from there. But so I think the biggest struggle for me in it has been identifying what they actually are.
I think often I see in Christian culture specifically is that we highly value selflessness and what it means to lay down your life, be selfless, put your needs on the back burner. And that's how we define selflessness,
right. So
that we can cycle in a unhealthy dynamic in a relationship for far too long. And we just think, I'm being selfless. This is what God has called me to do. So this can't be wrong. But really, we misinterpret selflessness for passivity.
Right.
And we kind of live passively with our needs not getting met, just kind of accommodating and people pleasing and fitting into the expectations of others. But selflessness doesn't mean that we ignore our needs. Selflessness doesn't mean that we don't say no. Selflessness doesn't mean that we put our needs on the back burner. I think the truest definition of a healthy relationship is that you consider the needs of others and you consider your own needs. It's a balance, making sure that I have needs and you have needs, and let's prioritize and figure out how we can make your needs just as important as my needs, because they're both important, rather than let's just focus on your needs and forget my needs, because that then builds bitterness, resentment, and depletion ultimately. Like, you can't sustain that for too long until you're just completely empty.
Yeah. And what sticks out to me in that is trust, because there has to be an element, a foundation of trust in order to, I'll say, show up authentically in the relationship, because I recognize that other people may come from it from the opposite angle. For me, a lack of trust meant that I had to put my needs aside. I couldn't trust my wife with my needs. I said couldn't, I should say wouldn't trust her with my needs. And so in order to protect myself, I set them aside to focus on hers. Now, somebody else may come to it from the opposite angle and say, I can't trust you, so I'm just going to throw everything at you and see what you know. So, but for me, that's what it was. And it was passivity because of a lack of trust. And, you know, we talked a bit before recording about emotional safety, you know, and developing that in a relationship, and that being lacking, you know, led to or prevented trust from being built.
People are always asking me, where do I find a good counselor? At the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, we want to help you navigate through any difficult season you might be facing. We want to help you find relief from the pain and stress of the present and healing from the wounds of the past in order to find freedom, joy, and peace in the life you're living today. Our team of trained, licensed professional counselors will walk by your side and give you the tools you need to face any personal or relational issue you might be up against today. With an integrative approach, we'll guide you with truths from God's Word paired with the best of modern counseling and psychology to help you get unstuck and live freely. There's no better time for healing than today. Book a session with one of our counselors at deborahfalada.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing from the inside out. So let me ask you this. What does that look like for you in other relationships? Because sometimes that's also a good indicator of how you are in this area. Yeah. What does it look like for you to share your needs and kind of just be assertive with what's going on inside of you with other people in your life?
I will say this, it depends a bit on the relationship. The example that immediately comes to mind, though, is like work, which I work for myself now in part because of this probably. But, you know, in a corporate environment, I was miserable because I didn't know how to stand up for myself or express my needs. You know, I hated even just asking for time off because it was like, you know, even though it's like built into the budget and everybody has to take their amount of time, like, oh my gosh, am I putting a weight on the company or the team or my manager? Hmm. You know, that's unfair. And so even in that, you know, it's like, you know, put my needs aside. And I think there are, again, I want to say I'm getting better and I've, you know, built some new relationships in this season that have been really great.
Yeah.
And doing that more intentionally, and grew up with some buddies that I'm still really close with. And in those, you know, I think there's an element of trust and safety where it's like, this is where I'm at, you know, and there's more freedom and acceptance there. But where that trust hasn't been built, yeah, it's really hard.
So where do you think this started for you? Where do you think the whole need to accommodate and please and kind of just focus so much on what they need in the relationship? Where do you think that began for you? Do you see any patterns of that from even your early years?
Yeah, so I'm the second of five kids. My brother and I are very close in age, only about 15 months, my older brother. And then there's about a 5-year gap. My younger brother came along and then a couple sisters after that. And so when I was about 6, 7, 8, things got really hectic and busy in the household as babies were coming. And the way that I found to survive in that environment was to disappear in a sense in my individuality and just fade into the background and make sure that everything was taken care of so that mom's okay, mom's happy. you know, if things were messy, mom was upset. So, you know, I knew if things started getting tense, I had to go start cleaning and would do that just almost by instinct. And, and so then, you know, if I had emotional needs in that season, which obviously as a young kid, I did, I didn't have anywhere to go with those.
Mm. That's really powerful and insightful. And I think, you know, these patterns develop from such a young age of learning to manage everybody else's emotions around us, as if we can do that, right? Like, I'm responsible for managing their emotions. And when that's my priority, like you said, my emotions kind of fade into the background. There's no place for them. And you grow up instinctively living your life that way as a way to keep yourself safe. It's like, I have to manage everybody else's emotions to keep me safe from their uncomfortable, difficult emotions, actions, reactions. So let me just manage theirs as fast as I can, as much as I can, so that I don't have to deal with the backlash. But all the while, yours are fading into the background. You don't even know what you need or what you want because you're just trying to create emotional safety for yourself.
Right. That's, you said it exactly, to keep myself safe from other people's messy emotions.
And the interesting thing is, creating emotional safety has much less to do with managing the emotions of the people around us and much more to do with being in tune to what's going on inside of us. That's how we create emotional safety. Emotional safety is not an external situation. It's an internal atmosphere. Because you could be in the most chaotic environment and still feel emotional safety inside, still have peace, joy, stability, hope, even if everything around you isn't reflecting that. And it sounds to me like you've spent so much time trying to create emotional safety externally. But it also sounds to me like God is bringing you in a season of creating internal emotional safety and managing that for yourself, not dependent on what's going on around you and who's around you and what they need and what's going on, but just really being in tune to the signals in your body. And instead of suppressing them, paying attention to them. What does this mean? Right. And what do I need? And how do I communicate that? And what boundaries and guardrails and emotions do I need to voice? What emotional needs do I have? And when do I say yes? And when do I say no? And how do I manage my schedule and, you know, my money? And really just taking a season of getting healthy from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think we've kind of come full circle in a way of, you know, talking about these practical things and, you know, and the big question of emotional safety. And it's so easy to forget that the practical things of managing finances and schedules and, you know, being a self-employed entrepreneur, that has its own added, you know, stress of self-management in there. And the reality is, if I hear what you're saying, is those are actually emotional questions.
Yeah.
Those aren't so much practicality questions as emotional questions. And what feelings are coming into questions about finances and doing my budget.
Exactly. And it's so much easier to answer those practical questions when the underlying feelings, thoughts, beliefs have been addressed and have been answered and are crystal clear. Like when I know what I believe in and when I know what how I think and what I need based on what I'm feeling. Thoughts lead to feelings, which lead to behaviors. If I'm struggling with what do I do and what I not do in my behaviors, there's a good chance it's because I don't really understand my feelings and the thoughts that precede them. I don't really know what's going on deep down inside of me. And I think the more clear the internal world is, the more easy it is to make decisions in the external world. So this is quite a journey for you, but a really good one to not let your needs fade in the background anymore, but allow those needs to be what God uses to lead and guide you into a season of health.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. It's quite a journey.
It is. Have you read the book Reset by any chance? This one right here.
I have it. Let's see. So I don't know if it's chapter, like, I don't know, somewhere around 10 or 11, where you take the deep dive into emotions. Mm-hmm. That's where you lost me. That's where you wrecked me. And I got,
honesty.
Go back to it. But I realized, like, okay, this is where I'm going to be stuck for a while.
Yeah. And let's rephrase that. You're not stuck there. You are just having to do some extra work. It's a new area and a new season. And when you're used to your emotions fading in the background for so many years, they're not just going to resurface magically and easily and powerfully. And obviously it is going to take some time and renovation and construction. So you're not stuck. You're just needing to do a little extra work in this area so that you can move forward. So I challenge you to go back and pick up where you left off, spend some time there and see what God reveals to you in this season of healing.
Yeah. Yeah. I look forward to it. It'll be good.
Well, thank you for joining me. Thank you for trusting me with your question. And I'll be praying for you on this journey of healing. Let me say a quick prayer for you right now.
Great, thanks.
Jesus, I thank you for Ben. I thank you for this journey of healing that you have him on. I thank you for the things that you are revealing during this really hard time in his life of navigating separation and divorce. And I just pray, God, that through this season that you would bring his awareness to what's going on deep inside of him, God, that you would reveal to him what needs to be healed in this season of pressure. God, I just thank you for the next level of healing that you're about to bring into his life. And we just trust you with his heart. We trust you with his children. We trust you with his future. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining me, Ben.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast and giving me your time today. If you're enjoying what we're doing here, leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us get the podcast out to others. If you want to go deeper with getting healthy and making healthy relationships, go check out some of my books, True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, Love in Every Season, Are You Really Okay, Married Sex, or my newest book, Reset. You can find more information about all of those, as well as hundreds of articles and courses, as well as the Debra Falada Counselors Network, over at my blog, truelovedates.com, or my website, debrafalada.com. I love connecting with you online, so find me on Facebook or Instagram at Debra Falada. Send me a DM and tell me your story. If you have a question on your mind or a guest suggestion, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/talktome and let me know what's on your mind. I'm Debra Falada, and it was so great being with you today. I can't wait to talk with you again next week. I'll see you then.